This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey, it's Tim Kawakami, TK Show. Recording from the home studio right now. This is just to kind of be the lead in to my conversation with Steph Curry, about 21 minutes. We actually did this the day before the Warriors traded for Jimmy Butler. So this conversation does not reflect that, although I think you can hear the tones of what he was thinking going into that. I don't know that he was for sure expecting a Jimmy Butler trade. Certainly was, I'm sure, on the table. But we talk about the present, we talk about the past, we talk about the future, and I think you'll see that Steph is very introspective, very thoughtful. There's a real clarity in what he sees about the realities of this moment, what he's seen about all the success they've had, and how this might end. I think that was maybe some of the most poignant stuff. I asked him, how does he imagine this ending? And he was very clear about this. How much he wants to end his career with the Warriors, having only played on one team, but how they need to stay relevant for practical reasons and for just that being the right way to end this kind of career, which is a Hall of Fame career. And he jokes about what his Hall of Fame speech might be like. Thought it was a really good conversation. It always is with Steph. We were working on it, the timing of it. It was kind of pegged to the All-Star game coming here. It was kind of not an end point, as he says he doesn't want it to be a funeral, televised funeral, but kind of a celebration of what they've achieved, what he's achieved. He will be in the game. I asked him about Adam Silver, the commissioner, consulting with him about this new format. We'll see how it takes. He knows it might get criticized. We shall see how it all plays out. But here it is, 21 minutes of me sitting down with Steph Curry in a kind of a restaurant lounge in Salt Lake City. Again, the night before they traded for Jimmy Butler. But again, the themes kind of prevail. And I'll come at the end and kind of wrap it up at the end of this. Enjoy. The premise of this, which you made fun of me when I was asking you weeks and weeks ago, was kind of start with the All-Star game, kind of broaden out. I'm explaining it better now than I did the first time. But just let's start with the All-Star game. I know you talked a little bit about it. Do you feel like it's like representative of like not a period of the end of an era, but of an achievement? Look at this arena, which you certainly helped build, this era. Does it feel like that at all? Or maybe we'll feel like that when you get to it?
I don't know what it'll feel like, to be honest. I'm excited about it just because you said hasn't been, we haven't had it here since, 2000? Obviously, Chase Center helps. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the league works in terms of how they do the bids and all that, arena matters. And just a culmination of a lot of great years. While the arena's built, while we've been playing in San Francisco, the success that we've had, all that being on full display all weekend. So I'm excited about that. I don't know what it'll feel like I said something before about I don't want it to feel like a live funeral type thing of like a celebration of what was and not what is and what's coming. So we got to kind of balance that because we still got some work to do. But yeah, you want to enjoy the festivities, being the host, and have as much fun as possible.
Are you super booked up for it, or are you trying to?
Not as bad as I feared when we first started talking about it, but it is packed, and especially because we finish in Houston on Thursday and late game, get back in the middle of the night, hit the ground running Friday afternoon. So I will be happy when it's over, though.
When the commissioner contacts you for the format, how did that conversation come about?
I actually went to the NBA offices this summer, kind of on my own. I hadn't been there in a long time. As Adam Silver has positioned his brand as he should, like as a partner with the players and his ability to have an open door kind of policy. I didn't go in there thinking I was talking about the All-Star game. I know because we were hosting, because it was in the Bay, he wanted my input, but I wanted to talk about something else, and then that kind of came up as just being like a sounding board on. He didn't have any ideas at the time, and I knew my advice was just, it's not a bad thing to change it up entirely and try something new, knowing that you could always come back to the traditional format if whatever you decide doesn't work, and then spitballing a bunch of different ideas to try to shorten the game a little bit, create a different kind of scenario where you can try to inspire some competition. Obviously, it comes down to the players, whether you play or not, but I like where it's at. It's going to be different. It's going to be criticized. It's going to be, I shouldn't say criticized. It's going to be critiqued.
Yep.
And that's kind of what you want.
As we get to this moment, we do the panoramic view. You were the first here with the Warriors. You've seen it develop. You've said goodbye to Bob and Andre and Clay and many others. Does it dawn on you that you might be doing a lot of goodbyes, and you might be the first and the last for this segment of Warriors history?
You think about that more and more. I'm not at the farewell yet, but you definitely, that's just part of time. Like, if you're fighting human nature or fighting the inevitable in that, then you're not, I don't think you're handling it right, because you need a little bit of fear of what's coming towards, what an end might look like, to inform like decisions that you're making now and appreciate what's going on right now. Bob leaving was tough for sure. Clay leaving was tougher. Where we are as a team and trying to figure out how to become a little bit more consistent and competitive is a daily challenge. I've talked about where I stand just on where the level that I want to be playing at, knowing that every year you're getting a little older and you're trying to maintain that quality. All that stuff is just a constant cycle, but because it matters, because at a certain point it's going to be over and you're going to miss all of these experiences. So I haven't really thought about it like the full arc, but Bob leaving, Clay leaving, like, you have to accept that things are changing, and that not everybody was going to be able to walk off into the sunset together. So,
do you flash back to when you got here? You didn't want to be drafted here. We know that, but you accepted it, and you didn't ask to be traded. You didn't, tough first couple years. You didn't ask to be traded. We've seen that happen in many other places. Do you flash to that? Are there any similar feelings? Obviously, 4 championships since then, but some of the same. Hey, I'm going to stick this out. This is because I'm here.
That's the gas in the tank of why, personally, I want to only play for one franchise and have made that a goal. And why all my actions are kind of pointed towards that. So, yeah, I reminisce on all of that for sure. The journey has been full of everything. Like you said, injuries, losing seasons, early the limited playoff success to the finals runs that we had, to a couple of down years, to the 22 championship, and then these last 3 years. So you've got so much, obviously, equity in what Warriors basketball is, what this franchise is. And if you want to get greedy and try to continue to be competitive, but also do right by the organization, in the sense of, like, you know, where we leave it, that's where a lot of the conversation this season's been. But for good reason, because we're trying to figure it out. Doesn't mean you're gonna be able to avoid hard decisions. That's the nature of professional sports, though.
When you were talking about this, Steve was talking about, you know, about a month ago, about not just throwing assets into the wind, and it was taken as, are they throwing away this season, the next season? And I took it, and I think correctly, that you were talking about the future, like next year, the year after, not, and only partly about how you leave it. Is that accurate? Like, it's more about, like, we still have a window here. It might not happen this season, might still, but let's protect the next couple of years also.
I think the, yes, that's more the energy kind of referring to, but what gets lost, I think, a little bit is everybody has a different definition of what mortgaging the future is, different definition on what a win now move is. And just referring to, like, I use the word reckless in the sense of there is no magic wand that you can, you know, wave and just say, oh, now you're going to be the favorites. It's like, we just want to take the appropriate steps to being in contention. And obviously it comes down to, you know, us as players, whoever's on this team, to try to play at the level that you're expected to play, and allow, you know, Steve to do his job, Bob to do his job, Joe to lead the front office and the organization in the appropriate way, and all those kind of leading towards, you know, making good decisions for now and the future. So two days away from the deadline, and a lot to be, you know, solved as to what the move is. But, you know, I don't want to see a situation where you're handcuffed because you try to act, you know, throw everything at a situation without having the right solution. And it's a joint effort. We all got to kind of put our best foot forward.
I kind of joke that so many Warriors fans, and I understand, are worried about maximizing your prime years. They're not maximizing Steph's prime years. I understand that, but they seem more worried about it than you do. I'm not saying you're cavalier about your prime, but that you are more measured about it. Do you understand both sides of that? Do you feel where the fans are coming from, and do you have to kind of resist it?
I've never been one. I don't need to broadcast everything that I talk about or what I feel in the sense of what input I'm given, you know, the front office, which I've obviously deserved over the course of my career, to have a rational mind and also a competitive mind when it comes to what we need to do to win. That's not the way that I go about it. So you hear all that stuff, which is why I said you'd be insane to think that I'm okay, like, being average on an average team and not try to do everything you can to fix that. So that's all. I've been very consistent with that from jump. And no matter how it plays out, like, I make decisions that I feel like are the best for me as well. And, you know, making sure I'm protecting your peace, your joy, and still, like, you know, in a position where you feel like you're playing for something when you step foot on the court. And when that changes, then a wise man once said, when decisions change, when the facts change. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I try to do it.
Was there a moment when you guys were almost ready to, like, say last few years, to go all in? Like, let's just do it. Was there a chance that could have happened?
I'm not even sure what all in could have been,
yeah,
in
LeBron,
that situation.
Lash, whatever.
None of those situations I don't think we control either. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's not like you're passing up on something that was like, oh, we could have done that. You know, there's always a two-way street when it comes to negotiations. And again, as from my vantage point, like, if you get a call from Bob back in the day from Mike now, it's like, hey, what do you think? You give your input. It's their job to go get stuff done and maximize the talent that we have or the talent that's out there in the league to try to add to what we have. And that's the constant loop of decision making that you have to trust will play itself out.
LeBron's name is always mentioned. You guys tried to trade for him last year. Kevin's name has come up recently. You don't, I don't know if you want to comment on all that, but is it, you guys played on the Olympic team. Is it somewhat of a mini dream or mini hey out there that you could play with one of those, could play with Kevin again or play with LeBron at some point?
Yeah. As you've seen recently, this league is crazy, so you never say never. I think it's funny now because we have our Team USA picture where all three of us, and it's nice for a nice headline. But, again, I guess everything is possible and nothing is possible at the same time in this league. And so I love my experience playing with them for sure, but this isn't fantasy basketball either. You kind of have to again be reasonable.
We talked about goodbyes, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but could you ever imagine saying goodbye to Draymond? Like, how tough would that one be?
Extremely difficult. That's why I said any type of scenario that where this ends and, you know, Clay's not here, either one of us isn't here, like I never foresaw that being a reality. And franchises are always put in positions where they have to make hard decisions. For now and the future, and whatever that means, you just hope you handle it the right way with respect and dignity. And I'm not saying that's the way it's going, but just it would be extremely difficult to see a reality where neither one of us finished our career here. But I said the same thing about Clay too.
On a little more, I guess, retrospective feel, as you, I guess, because I'm asking, I'll ask you, like, is there somebody, as you look back on this time with the Warriors, maybe an underrated person, underrated teammate, executive, coach, that kind of lingers in your mind? That was a big part of what this was about, and maybe we don't talk about it enough.
It's very hard to find somebody around the Warriors that's not talked about enough.
Raymond Ritter.
That part. You know, our coaching staff, our front office, I know even from Jerry West and his impact on our team to Bob, like, I don't know, I probably sit, from my vantage point, I might have the longest Hall of Fame speech ever, because there's so many people that you realize are impactful in this situation to have success for this long. It's hard to find somebody that hasn't been highlighted throughout the years,
like that MVP, first MVP speech.
Yeah, we definitely lost game two because of my speech. It was entirely too long after practice, but never thought I'd be back up there.
Yeah, the very next year.
I shortened the year too, for sure.
So trying to be like, how does this end in the right way in your mind? How? Not trying to say specifically you'd say championships or after another two championships, but how do you want to feel when this ends?
Competitive. That's... I've seen different scenarios, like everybody talks about Kobe and his last years. From my vantage point, I'm comparing it to guys that only play for one franchise. Mm-hmm. Dirk, Tim, Kobe, in our era. And you think about, like, you don't want to be in a situation the Lakers were in those last 3 years. I know he came off the Achilles injury, but it was like, they were a lottery team, and it was more just how many points could Kobe score down the stretch of his career. Like, I don't want to be in that scenario. Again, my whole thing is, like, you have to be realistic. There's probably not a move or a scenario where you're going to walk into a season or a playoff series, like, as the perennial favorite. There's a lot of talent around the league. But to be competitive where you have a chance, like, that's what we want to see. I'm sure that's what our fans want to see. Playing meaningful games, no matter how it ends, like, I think that's what we deserve. And I hope that it that is the reality I get to live in this last part of my career.
People have watched, it looks like it's tough for you sometimes out there. Not a ton of other offensive options sometimes. You are working your ass off against defenses that are highly focused on you. Do you feel down sometimes? Is it any comparison to other years that have been down? Is it just like some other, you've had some missed playoff years, or is it tougher now, 36?
It's tougher mentally because you're looking at the time clock more than ever. Like back 2021 was the only like comparable year where we were around 500, just below pretty much the whole year. But I was fresh coming off of almost a year off of playing basketball because of COVID and all that. I broke my hand and the whole deal. So different scenario. But the more I think about it, like obviously losing sucks, and when you're losing and it's hard and you're searching for answers on how to get over the hump, that weighs on you, especially as the leader of the team. But it's also a reminder of, again, to like embrace it as hard as it is, because hopefully the breakthrough will happen. Like that's the only way you can really think as a competitor, whether you brainwash yourself or not. Like it's the only way to really, persevere through it. And that's the daily battle. So definitely challenging, definitely hard. I haven't played up to the standard that I want for myself, and that's just being super critical of, like, just the way that I want to play. But yeah, you accept what's going on and you try to figure it out.
When you don't play as well as you expect, do you work harder, or at this point can you not go, okay, I can't just be in the gym as much as I was when I was 27?
There's definitely an evolution of that recovery and maintenance and all that type of stuff, so you got to work different for sure. But keeping your sharpness, I think mentally is the hardest part, because you're so used to the routine of it all. Like I'm done doing this for 16 years and the playoff runs that we've had and all that, it's a lot. And your body feels different. You kind of are understanding what this new experience is. You're trying to make subtle changes that to adapt to kind of the situation and try new things. But otherwise, when you're on the court, it feels pretty much the same.
Last question.
I get lost in there.
How's your relationship with Steve Kerr evolved? Do you think it has evolved, or has it been pretty much the same as you guys kind of maneuver through this change or whatever this is right now together?
I think we've become more, with experience, obviously there's a level of trust that's built and continues to deepen over the last 10 years. I think we've had more conversations than this year and probably last year than we've ever had in season, like on play calls or rotations or kind of other broader topics around our team and trying to, be thought partners around that. That's been more consistent and more kind of impactful this year. But I think overall, like, he has such a good way of managing people and the team that we're being challenged in new ways for sure. And I think that's brought out a little bit more of that need for communication. Because the last thing you want is, me and Steve to kind of be on different, tuned to different stations. And that's not to say, like, we're still trying to get better and figure out exactly what needs to happen this year specifically for us to win. Because I know we're both super competitive. He broke a clipboard last night, and I've been waiting on that because I need it. I'd see that fire on that. But I know he appreciates the way I approach everything that we do from a leadership standpoint. But it's gotten harder, and you have to kind of accept it.
he told Logan that if you ask him to keep coaching, he'll keep coaching no matter what. Can you imagine this relationship continuing? I mean, could you imagine another coach?
I couldn't imagine it, no. And our job is to make sure that doesn't happen. Like, keep figuring out ways to be relevant in the conversation. Because I know as soon as we're not, neither one of us would kind of see it the same way.
All right, Steph. I appreciate it.
Yes,
thank you, man.
Thank you.
Long, long time coming, but all good as always.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Tim Kawakami. Let's just wrap up this Steph Curry episode. I will be writing a column on this. This was mainly an interview set up for the column. Should be clear about that. But since we've got the recording and since it came out sounding pretty good, definitely wanted to be part of the TK Show podcast. Steph is getting into the podcast business. I realized later he was asking me some questions about podcasting after the interview. And now I realize why. I think I'll just end this with specifically asked him about LeBron James and Kevin Durant, the rumors that the Warriors are always interested in that. And he did not say that he had just talked to Kevin, that the Warriors had put most of the pieces together to try to get a trade to get Kevin back. But my sense from him was that he might have already had that conversation and knew it was going to happen. You could tell by the kind of sureness of his voice when I asked about both LeBron and Durant that wasn't happening. But he knew there were always chances, always possibilities. It's a crazy league where Luka Doncic could be traded to the Lakers and no one knew about it. But that was kind of where my reporting was coming, just having talked to him and a few other people, that it wasn't going to be Durant. I didn't know they came as close as it turns out they did, and that Kevin Durant just didn't want to come to the Warriors. And it came down to, as ESPN The Athletic reported, a conversation with Steph Curry that Kevin had. But guys, you kind of feel it. And I think there's just some real interesting pictures being painted by our conversation about the present, the past, and what the future really can be as it pertains to now and the All-Star game coming up and what the next few years really could be about. All right. Hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you next time.